Good to see all y'all this morning. If you love God, say amen.
Amen.
If you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you something that'll encourage you this morning while I'm getting ready. The other day, me and my son, Memorial Day, we went hiking. And we went up to Cheehaw State Park and we began to hike up the mountain. And we saw this sign. As soon as you entered into the trail, it told you how long it was going to be to get where you was going. And the first place we come to was a half mile. It said, if you make it here, you made it a half mile. And to make it to the next point, it was 3 miles. So we decided we'd go there. And at 3 miles, there was a shelter there on top of the hill. And we want to hike down to the next falls. You know, and you know how the patience of a little kid is. We started into that. We got to the first half mile. We did pretty good, and it went pretty fast. We started on hiking through, and that trail went winding. And it'd go around the mountain, and it'd come around another side of the mountain, and it'd go up, and it'd go down. And my son said, Daddy, are we ever going to be there? And I said, we'll be there in just a little while. We'll be there in just a little while. We'd walk a little bit further, and he'd ask me, he'd say, Daddy, when are we going to be there? And we knew that there was a shelter there, and I kept looking up over the hills, and I said, maybe if I could just see the top of that shelter, I could tell him, just a little while longer, and I'd raise him up and I'd show him, you know, what was actually there. You know, and we'd walk a little while further, and it, no shelter in sight, no 3 miles on our journey was there in sight. And then all of a sudden, we popped over the top of the hill, and I saw the top of it. And about that time, my son said this. He said, Daddy, it'll be worth it if at that shelter they got Yoo-Hoos and Chips Ahoy. And the Holy Ghost put this in my heart. He said, in just a little while we'll be there, and it'll be worth everything we went through down here. They may not be Chips Ahoy, and they may not be Yoo-Hoos, and there may be, I don't know. But I tell you what, just a little past top of the hill, you'll see him there, and there'll be refreshments, and there'll be rejoicings, and there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory there. I'm glad today that we can serve a living Christ. I'm glad God is real. I'm glad just a little past top of the hill, there may not be Yoo-Hoos and there may not be Chips Ahoy, but I tell you who will be there. There'll be a captain there. It'll be one that died on the cross for us, the one who gave his life that let us go free. Thank God, just a little over past top of the hill, we'll see him in just a little while. If you have your Bible this morning, be finding Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. We'll look into a passage of Scripture this morning. A very familiar passage. Hopefully bring out something that will help you out of the Word of God. Here in Luke chapter 15, I want to read the first seven verses. It says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And it do you good this morning to draw near him to hear him. See, his voice is like none other. His voice is not like my voice. You may hear me speak this morning, you may forget what I say. I may perish away tomorrow and never be here again. But I tell you, to hear His voice is something special. You ought to always regard it in your heart to hear His voice. And if you came to church and you didn't hear His voice, I'm telling you, you missed something. Be sure you hear His voice. This says this, And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which one is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And I want to stop right there to say this. I'm glad God came to seek sinners. He said that He came to not call the righteous, but call sinners to repentance. I'm glad one day God called me unto repentance. But I found myself also like this sheep. See, there's two different applications that could be pulled out of this story. It could be a lost person who's never known God, who's lost and on his way to hell. And it shows how the Savior would leave all that he'd have to go, the whole flock of sheep, and go into the wilderness to find that one which was lost. It also can mean have an application of someone who is once with the flock, a saved person, and he's left the flock and now finds himself way out yonder. And I've been that person way out yonder before. If you've been in this thing for any time, you may find yourself way out yonder. And I can tell you, you may be here every service we have and still be way out yonder. I've been there before. I've been here in body and my mind be a million miles away from here. I want to try to share something from you from the Word of God this morning out of Luke 15. I want to give a little introduction in this story to show you some similarities to these three parables that was spoken here. We know Jesus sometimes spoke in parables, and he was teaching those Pharisees and those scribes the extent that he would go after the sheep. He was going to teach them that he would love them. You see, those scribes and Pharisees, they had an outward love, yet but within their heart they had nothing. They was empty. They was full of dead man's bones, as the Bible says. And you'll see, first of all, in the first parable, you'll see the parable of the lost sheep. The second parable you'll find in that story is the parable of the lost silver. And thirdly, you'll see the parable of the lost son. And you'll see a progression there. The first parable, they lost one one-hundredth. They had 99 sheep, lost one in the wilderness. There was 100, they lost one, they lost 100. And the second parable there, you'll see they lost one-tenth. The woman had 10 pieces of silver and she lost one. And the Bible said she's sweet till she find it. In that third parable there, you'll see that the father lost half of what he had. There's a progression in that. He lost half of all that he had. But I tell you this, the son lost the father. He lost everything in that story. But I want to look at this first parable here this morning about this sheep and hopefully encourage you this morning. And the first thing I want to look at here, it says down in verse number 3, and he spake this parable to them, saying, what man of you have 100 of sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I want you to see, first of all, the encounters of the separation. The encounters of the separation. We see this sheep was once with the fold. We see this sheep was once walking, and he was just like the rest of them. He was on it. His heart was there with the sheep. In Matthew chapter number 18, it said that he went astray into the mountains in the parallel gospel. We all know that a sheep does not belong in the mountains. The sheep is not prepared for the mountains. The sheep has nothing to do with the mountains. Everywhere you look, you find sheep down in the lowly pasture land. And also you find them there with the shepherd. But we find this sheep here in this parable where he's left the fold. He's left the shepherd and he's went to the mountains. The encounters of separation. And in my mind, I thought about it. What could cause this sheep who had all the protection, who had all the provision, and had all this stuff that the shepherd had provided for him, why would he leave the sheepfold? And I wrote down four things, and I thought of the devil this morning. And this is, you remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he seeketh, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you this. There's some things that the devil would do to you that would get you away from this. You better be glad you belong to a Holy Ghost-filled church where we're not just having meeting, but we're having ministry. You see, where there's ministry going on, the devil is right on is our target. He knows exactly where we are. He knows we got a bullseye right on us, and it says Liberty Baptist Church. And he would do whatever it took to deceive you and get you out of here. The first thing I want you to think about this sheep, and I said, why would this sheep leave? And he gave me four things about this sheep, why he could have left that fold. The first thing is, that sheep could have been weak. He could have been weak. Maybe that sheep couldn't keep up with the rest of that flock. Maybe he was a young sheep. Maybe it was somebody, a little sheep that his legs just wasn't as long as the others. And as the others began to walk and he walked off and they left that sheep behind. And those other 99 walked off and they left that sheep back there. He could have been weak. He may not have been as strong. He may not have been as old. And a lot of times in my life I've been weak and hadn't been able to keep up. If I tell you what, there was a shepherd that was still looking. Not only could he have been weak, he could have been wounded. See, that they could have been walking so close together that maybe one of the sheep that was beside him stepped on its leg and it began to hobble along. And it couldn't keep up because it was wounded. How many times in the house of God have we been wounded and we couldn't keep up because of the wound? All we could do is stop to dress our wound. And the Holy Ghost put the salve in us, and now we're able to keep back up. That sheep could have been wounded. You see, it's always easy to hurt somebody. And I've hurt people in my life, and I regret it. And I've wounded people. I'll tell you this, the hardest time you'll have is when you hurt somebody that you never intended to hurt. And I've hurt people I've never intended to hurt. I've hurt my wife, in which I never intended to hurt before. And it's it's a very cautious thing to encounter the separation. It could have been weak. It could have been wounded. But it could have been weary. Maybe it was laboring with the sheep. Maybe it was once there with the sheep doing exactly like they was. But in well-doing, it became weary. And it no longer can keep up. And it became separated from that flock. Not only that, it could have been weary. It could have been wayward. You see, a lot of times in our life, we get wayward. This sheep said, maybe I don't want to go with the rest of the sheep. Maybe I want to take off and go my own direction. Maybe I want to do my own thing. You see, we live in a day where every man thinks they're doing right in their own eyes. And everybody knows more than God. But I'm going to tell you, we ought to not be wayward. We ought to stay with the... See, there's safety in numbers. You see, there was 99 there in the wilderness, and there was safety in that. You say, why do you think there was safety in that? Why would the shepherd leave the 99 if he wasn't safe in numbers? You see, there was 99 there, and the shepherd said, I can leave them there with the 99, and why I go get this one is lost, as long as those 99 will stay together. You see, there's safety in numbers. There's protection in numbers. You see, the devil is a roaring lion. And if you were to get separated from that sheepfold and leave that flock, there was something that could happen to you. You lose all the protection. You lose all the provision and the encounters of the separation. You see, this shepherd saw, and I wrote this down. I said, the sheep may not always think about the shepherd, but the shepherd always thinks about the sheep. See, you may have got up this morning and said, I'm on my way to the house of God, and you had no thoughts of the shepherd. But don't think the shepherd hadn't thought about you. There's been times in my life I've been weak, I've been weary, I've been wounded, and I've been wayward, and my thought pattern may not have been right, but I'm going to tell you, there was one in heaven that knew what I needed, and I tell you what he did, he saw me through it because he had thoughts about me. If I could challenge you this morning, I'd have you to read Psalms chapter 139. I've been studying that book of the Bible. I call it the He Knows Me chapter. He knows me. He knows my uprisings and my down sittings. A lot of times we think nobody cares, but I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus cares. He cares enough about you that if you were to get lost from this sheepfold, this 99, He would leave this 99 and go out in the wilderness and get that one that was lost. Not on the encounters of the separation, I want you to see, secondly, the extent of the search. The extent of the search. It said there in that verse 4, in the last part of that verse, and he says, and go after that which is lost until he find it. You see, me and you have lost a lot of stuff in our life. You got to think, if I had a $100 bill, and I had $100 bills, and I said, I'll just throw one of them $1 bills away, and I still had 99, and I searched for it for a little while, and I couldn't find it. You know what I'd probably do? I'd leave it laying there. Why? Because it didn't mean that much to me. Because I still had 99. But I'm going to tell you, this shepherd, to the extent of the search he'll do, that $1 bill that fell off, he's going to get it. You know why? Because it's important to him. And I want you to know this morning, you're important to God. Don't let you think that you're not important to God. David said, keep me as the apple of thine eye. You see, God, He loved us enough that He would send His Son. And He was going to prove His love for us. He was going to find that He'd be the shepherd of the sheep. It says this over in John chapter 10, verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In verse 15, it says this, and the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, Jesus, in the extent of the search, you are very important. He would leave the 99 and He would give His life for every sheep. All 100. All 100. You say, well, how long would He search? I want you to know this morning it's indefinite. The Bible said until He find it. So I got good news for you, mom and daddies that have sons or daughters that are out there in the world that are wayward. Don't think Jesus gave up on them. Don't think that even though the people in the churches give up on you, even though people will always let you down. I'll let you down. I'll be the first one to admit that. If you follow me, I'll let you down. But I tell you, there's one who won't. Psalmist David said in Psalm 27:10, he said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I'm glad the Lord will take us up. When everybody else has let us down, He'll still take us up. He'll take us up into a high mountain, the holy mountain of God, the extent of the search. You see, that sheep can never make it on its own. You see, once that one sheep gets separated from the pack, the shepherd knows it'll never make it. You see, a sheep is a wandering creature. And aren't we prone to wander? You see, this sheep, once he's defenseless, he's selfless. He just wanders off and keeps wandering in one direction. The other sheep may be going this direction. He may be going that direction. And how long will he walk? He'll just wander off all day long. And that shepherd loves that sheep enough that he'd leave that 99 and go get the one that was lost. The extent of the search, it's indefinite. You see, why would you say that? Because it's a possession thing. It's a possession thing. See, when Jesus died on the cross and I accepted Christ as my Savior, some years later, I was on His mind when He's on the cross. I want you to know that. But I want you to know this. It's a possession thing. Let's say today I walk out of this thing and say I'm giving up. I'll tell you what. There's a little possession thing that's inside of me that shepherd is going to go back. Don't think I won't get chastised for it. I may not. I'm going to get chastised for it. I'm going to get whatever God has laid in part for me, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But I want you to know this, that He will go, He'll do His part if we'll do our part. The extent of the search. The third thing in this, not only do you see the extent of the search, look down in verse 5. It says, and when He had found it, He layeth it on His shoulders, rejoicing. I want you to see the embrace of the shepherd. The embrace of the shepherd. It said that He layeth it on His shoulders. And that layeth word, and to me, is a word of carefulness. It's a word that He just took it up. He just didn't throw it on His shoulders. A lot of times I pick my son up and try to put him up on my shoulders, and I just didn't lay him on there. I just did the best I could to get him up there. But this word said He layeth it. See, that was a word that he was doing it with carefulness and with gentleness. And see, and I thought about this. I said, what would I do, you know, if my son, he walked out of this thing and I didn't see him and he became wayward? And would I go out there and the first time I saw him, would I beat him? I'd want to. I don't know. I ain't got there yet. Some of you are way ahead of me in this game. Way ahead of me. What would I do? But I'm going to tell you what the shepherd did. He didn't go out there with a rod of iron and beat that sheep. He knew that sheep and knew. I tell you this, nobody ever had to tell me I was a sinner. See, the Holy Ghost told me that. And nobody has to tell you that when you're doing wrong. If the Holy Ghost lives in you, you know when you're doing wrong because it'll grieve Him. Pastor preached on that Wednesday night. We grieve the Spirit. And it ought to be in there. I believe this, when God saved us, He put something inside of us that would want us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He inbred that inside of us when He saved us, and He engrafted it in our heart that we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and we'd want to do what's right. Even when we didn't do right, He engrafted that in us. The embrace of the shepherd. You see, the shepherd received the sheep. I wonder today if we had something to come up, we would be able to receive a sheep. Receive a sheep. You see, I've been out there where I didn't know what I was doing. I've been ignorant. See, the Bible says we ought to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. We know the devil works in deception. We know that Eve was deceived in the garden. And Adam voluntarily took of that the fruit of the tree. You know, and we all fell because of that. It was because of that deception. I want you to know this morning. The devil is able to adapt. You say, what do you mean by that? No doubt the devil was there in the garden. And Eve, when she saw it, if I had a snake in here this morning, I'd let it go. Probably about half of you get up and run, wouldn't you? I would. I'd be gone. But I want you to know this. And especially with women, if you let a snake go, you run. But I tell you what, Eve did not run. You see, this creature in the garden was beautiful. And it was easily to be deceived by. And I'm going to tell you, the devil would love to slide in your life and deceive you. And it won't be something that's just subtle. It'll be slowly. He'll gradually I've seen this on signs before. As you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. And I'm sure he'll do that. You see, a snake can slither into any little old crack and you not know it. Deception. He loves to work in deception. I want you to know this. He received that sheep by love. I want you to know this morning that God loves you with an unconditional love. A lot of times in our life, we love people conditionally for what we can get out of them or what they can do for us, how they can, you know, esteem us high in the society. But I'm going to tell you what God does. He loves us unconditionally. And oh, that I'd get myself down to where I could love people unconditionally. You see, it'll change your life if you'll see people the way Jesus does. If you'll see some drug addict or somebody that's hung out on alcohol or on drugs or whatever, if you can see them as Jesus does, it'll change your life. You see, Jesus knows the end. He knows the end of the story. Jesus can see it. When the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9, He looked out over Jerusalem and He had compassion on them. Oh, if we could have compassion like Jesus does. You see, He couldn't receive this sheep if He didn't love it. He couldn't receive it. You see, love is an expression of action. See, I can tell you all day that I love you, but if I ain't got no action with it, I'm not sure it's not too much love. Love always produces actions. Not only did He receive it, He brought it rest. The Bible said that sheep had been wandering out in the mountain, according to Matthew chapter number 18. No doubt it had traveled that weary road. No doubt it probably got hurt walking up that road it wasn't supposed to. No doubt it probably got tired walking up that road that it didn't need to walk up. But it said that Jesus laid that sheep on His shoulder. And I tell you what it did, it brought Him rest. And he could rest in Jesus. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28 says this. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You want to know when you're getting weary in this thing? It's when you not got Jesus' yoke on you and you took your own yoke and put it upon you and you began to walk. You see, a lot of times this cross, Brother Brian Bridges, he preached Tuesday night. He said, "Unexpected crosses." And a lot of times, God has placed a cross on me, and I've tried to bear it on my own strength, and I couldn't tote it because I didn't do exactly what Matthew chapter number 11 says. He said, "You got to take His yoke upon you." You see, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. A lot of times, we take our own crosses, and we try to find rest in everything but Jesus. But Jesus said you could find rest in Him. The embrace of the shepherd. I started thinking about this, and I remember that song that Miss Kyla wrote. A lot of you know it. It's called "The Field of Grace." And I got this book that she sold one time here at the church, and it said the story behind her songs. And I pulled that book out of my shelf last night and I began to read it. And it tells the background of how all these songs that she's written. You know, she's a great songwriter, and we've sang a bunch of her songs here in this church. And it shows how, and it told that story behind that song. Y'all know Brother Ron and his wife, Miss Aquila? She got this song from Miss Aquila. See, Miss Aquila was going through the hardest time in her life. She was a young lady back then, and she wasn't married to Brother Ron. But it said this in the book. It said that she had a concrete block house, and she wanted to keep that house, but circumstances came up, you know, and she was going to lose that house, you know, from the owner that had gone through some kind of legal issue. And it said this. It said, and Miss Kyla was calling her and said, "Hey, Miss Aquila, how you going?" And no, every time she called her, she kept getting lower. She was in desperation. She was in despair. She knew that she had lost that house and she wasn't going to be able to keep it. But then it said this in the story. It said it changed. It said one day Miss Kyla called her and said, "Hey, how's it going today?" And the old Miss Aquila that once was so bright and cheerful came back to life. And she said, "What'd you do? Get that house back?" And Miss Aquila said, "No, I didn't get it." And she said, "But He came." And Miss Kyla thought about it, and she thought, "Well, who came?" And this is what it said in the book. It said, "It took me a few minutes, but I figured out." It said that Jesus came by. And it brought her into a field of grace. He brought her into a place of rest. You see, when you get out of this sheepfold, I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, gets you back, I'll tell you what He can do. He can put you on His shoulders, and it'll be a place of rest. And it'll be a place of perfect rest. The embrace of the shepherd. Don't think He won't embrace you. And lastly, this morning, I'll close with this. You'll see in verse number 6, it says, And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The last thing I'll leave you with this morning, not only you see the encounter, the separation, the extent of the search, the embrace of the shepherd, but you'll see the engagement of the supporters. You see, what was this shepherd going to do? He's going to call the party up. A lot of times we'd think in our mind that, God had me think about this one time. He said, and I wrote this down, things that would make news down here but wouldn't make news up there. You see, there's a lot of things making news up there that doesn't make news down here. You see, if a sinner come and getting saved, it doesn't make the Bowden Times or whatever y'all's newspaper is. It don't make the Randolph Leader where I'm from. It don't make the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But I tell you what it makes. It makes great news over there. It said there's some rejoicing going on over there. The engagement of supporters. See, that shepherd, when he's got his sheep on his shoulder and they come back, they all received it. But I tell you what, if you look in that story, it said this. It says, and when he cometh home. It didn't say anything about the sheep. It said when he come home. He had it on his shoulder. I believe all my heart he still had that sheep up on his shoulders, and he brought it home. And all those people, he engaged. He said, I'm going to call all my friends. I'm going to call all my neighbors. And they were supporting that sheep that was restored. The Bible said in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1, it says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That word meekness means gentleness. It says, Considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. And it says on down below that, it says, Bear ye one another's burdens. I'm glad in our church we can bear another person's burdens. I'm glad I had people to bear my burdens before. You see, we live in a world where people, they're in it for themselves. But Jesus wants us to be in it for each other. Each other. Not only that, you'll see restoration, you'll see rejoicing. He had that sheep on his shoulder, and they all began to rejoice. It said this in verse 7, And I say unto you, likewise shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'm glad Jesus will leave the 99 to go get one that's lost in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness. I've been on the mountain. I've been out of my place. I've been in places where I shouldn't have been. But God went from where He was and left those 99, which were very important to Him, and come to one little lost lamb such as me. The sheep may not always think about the shepherd, but the shepherd always thinks about the sheep. That's all I got this morning. You're dismissed.